This morning's scripture reading is from Matthew chapter 5, verses 13 through 20. You are the salt of the earth. But if salt has lost its taste, how can its saltiness be restored? It is no longer good for anything, but is thrown out and trampled underfoot. You are the light of the world. A city built on a hill cannot be hid. No one, after lighting a lamp, puts it under the bushel basket, but on the lampstand, and it gives light to all in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father in heaven. Do not think that I have come to abolish the law or the prophets. I have come not to abolish, but to fulfill. For truly I tell you, until heaven and earth pass away, not one letter, not one stroke of a letter will pass from the law until it is all accomplished. Therefore, whoever breaks one of the least of these commandments and teaches others to do the same will be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever does them and teaches them will be called great in the kingdom of heaven. For I tell you, unless your righteousness exceeds that of the scribes and Pharisees, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. Herein reads this morning's lesson.
For three chapters in Matthew, Matthew pulls together a whole number of Jesus' teachings to form a long sermon. Become known as the Sermon on the Mount. Last week, we heard the Beatitudes, and this week we get this short passage, which is a hinge between the Beatitudes and the difficult instructions that follow for the church. You have heard it said, but I say to you, and Jesus goes on and lifts up some difficult instructions. But we have this hinge short text today. And the you that Jesus is speaking is a plural you. It's to the church. In Greek, it's plural. We have trouble in English understanding that. In many other languages, there's a singular or a plural you. You can't always tell in English. This is addressed not to just individual pious Christians, but this text is addressed to the church, to the body of Christ. The followers of Jesus in every age, from the second generation church that Matthew was writing to Christians today, listen with the crowd to hear that we, too, are salt of the earth and the light of the world. While Jesus is telling us who or what we are, these metaphors are really about what we do and how we do it and what impact we have in the society around us. They're meant to be dynamic, not static. The images of salt and light are packed with many meanings. 2,000 years after Jesus said this, we still understand that if salt has lost its saltiness, it's not good for very much. And that just a little flavorful salt can make a real difference in food, These are simple yet profound images of salt and light. And the audience of Jesus that first heard them would have many associations for salt, many images. Those of us who are on low salt diets, and I expect there's more than one of us in the congregation this morning, may not really appreciate the power of these metaphors, because we're trying to avoid salt. But the original hearers knew how important salt was in their life. The Bible is full of references of salt and its essential nature, from preservation to the sharing of salt with someone was a gesture of commonality. It was almost kind of like passing the peace, of sharing the bread. And new parents would rub salt on their babies to fend off all kinds of illness. So salt was a powerful, powerful metaphor. When Jesus told the crowd, "You are salt of the earth." But salt doesn't work alone. It preserves, it adds flavor, it zests things up, it changes the food or the water. For salt to work, it must be used with something. If it's just sitting there in the blue box on the back of the stove, it's not doing anything. The church, Jesus is saying, is to be like salt, mixed right in the midst of life, adding zest, making a difference. That's what these images are about. We know in the scriptures light is also used in many ways, has many meanings. One of those is hope. Earlier in Matthew's gospel, in the fourth chapter, Matthew spoke of Jesus by recalling the words of Isaiah the prophet, that, quote, "The people who sat in darkness have seen a great light. Those who feel lost or are in despair or confused, those who are not sure which way to turn, the prophet says, on them the light has dawned, has given them hope." In Jesus Christ, the prophet or the gospel writer is saying, we have found our way. And we are called to share the light in the world today, to let our light shine before others, to let the good things that we do not bring honor or glory on ourselves, but to radiate the goodness and the grace and the mercy of God in the world. Now, the church has been challenged and is challenged in our society. Thomas Long, a preacher, well-known preacher and writer for Preacher, has said, quote, "The church, for all its vision, is overpowered, outnumbered, and often overlooked." And he goes on to write, "The challenge is indeed formidable for a group trying with mixed results to live out an alternate life. Set down in the midst of a teeming, fast-changing culture that neither appreciates nor understands them. The hardest part is not in being Christian for a day, but being faithful day after day, maintaining confidence in what for all the world appears to be a losing cause." Close quotes. This text from Matthew provides a reminder to Jesus' disciples as they heard it, and to Jesus' disciples today, that we are called into the world. No matter how great the obstacles we face, we're called to make a difference. We're called to make a difference. Our calling is not about institutional survival. Our calling is about transformation of the world. Jesus is saying here that what the people of God do in the world really matters. It makes a difference. The second part of this short text that Laura read is sometimes more challenging for us. There is an important difference between building on the tradition that has been handed down to us, and hopefully we will hand down to our children and our grandchildren, and keeping our focus just frozen on the past. How do we honor tradition and pass it on without being frozen in that tradition? Forgetting that God is doing a new thing today in this world, in this time. That was what Jesus was trying to do in all those conversations with the Pharisees. To recognize that a new thing was happening in their time. And helping them to experience the law and the prophets as fulfilled. To help them wrestle with the call to be faithful in their own time. In the midst of the new thing that God was doing in their lives. If we are salt, salt for the earth, we won't just find comfort and assurance in being something, but we'll find our purpose and identity in doing something significant, something that will make a difference. in the culture that surrounds us. All this talk about doing an identity is central to that second part of the text about the law. Given how it shaped Israel and strengthened the people and the church as well. And our temptation frequently in the church has been to judge the Pharisees rather than to share in their struggle with the question of how to remain obedient to God in a changing world. How do we remain obedient to God in a changing world? Matthew's community faced dramatic changes and the turmoil that almost always follows those dramatic changes. And we're in a changing, rapidly changing world. Sometimes at a very bewildering pace. And we feel the need to hang on to something firm, to give us reassurance. And we need to hang on to our tradition, but not be frozen there. And to forget that God is still present and active and doing a new thing in our midst. We may debate, as the ancient authorities did, what is binding and what is not in the law. Later in the same gospel, Jesus speaks of the weightier matters of the law, of doing justice and mercy and faithfulness, acknowledging that it has to be interpreted. But it's important to be grounded, but not frozen, not so rigid that we can't be about doing new things. And finally, this text reminds us that we're not a secret society. We shouldn't be just an in-group, a light on a hill, or as Eugene Peterson translates these verses in the Message, we're going public with this, as public as a city on a hill. Now that I've put you there on a hilltop, on a light stand, shine. Keep open house. Be generous with your lives. As we strive to live faithfully in the world, to be salt and light, we need to be reminded, though, even though we're small, not large in numbers, we have great strength and great power. Not because of ourselves, but because of God's presence and God's grace that is working in our midst. In these words, Jesus is telling his disciples and is telling us that we've got work to do. That we need to make a difference in the world around us. It's not enough just to sit in the pews and remember. But we've got to change and transform the world as salt and light. Amen.